Let us pray.
Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to thee. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I am so excited to be standing in this pulpit with you today, the first Sunday of Lent, and to be able to stand and to remind you that it is the time of year where we get to pause. We get to make things a little bit different and change things up a little bit as we take a breath and we remember the greatest week the Lord has ever known, the greatest week we have ever known. And that is when our Lord came and did for us what we could not do for ourselves, entering into the real desert, if you will, as we stand on the outside looking in at what he did perfectly for you and for me. And so, friends, I invite you into this Holy Lent to pause during these next 6 weeks and contemplate and consider how good our Lord is and how much he really loves you. But I'm also excited to be here with you because it's Outreach Sunday. And as most of you know, I was invited to come here on staff at St. Martin's to be the Associate Rector of Missions and Outreach and Pastoral Care. And so for the first 2 months of my time here, I've been making my rounds around all the different things that are happening in outreach. And I must say, you people are busy. There is a lot of outreach happening around here. I don't know if you were in the 10 o'clock hour where this took place. You should have got this in the mail a couple weeks ago. But there were so many things happening on our campus today. And as your outreach pastor, it brought such joy to my heart to roam around our campus and to see the hands and feet of Jesus today doing good work for him, not because we get special rewards for it, but because it's the overflow of what Jesus did for us. That's how that works. When the gospel is deep down inside of us, it overflows out and bubbles up, and we cannot help it. And we see a beautiful picture of that here in our gospel lesson today, where Jesus is calling his disciples. In John 1, you see this really quick moving through the first part of Jesus' life. We see the birth, and then he moves into the baptism where the Spirit of God descends and lands on our Jesus. And then the next day, he started on his tour to call his disciples. He has two so far. He has Andrew and Peter. But then it says, and this has always fascinated me, it says in verse 43, the next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Have you ever had a scripture or a verse or a passage just kind of jump out at you and grasp you in a whole new way? This one does that to me because it blows me away that the Lord would go out of his way to find one person. He had just finished his baptism. He got his first two disciples. He's resting, you get the impression, and he wakes up and stirs Peter and tells him, "Let's go. We got to head to Galilee. There's a guy there named Philip that I've got to call because I want him to be a part of this thing." A small little field trip for you. Philip is the only disciple that Jesus went out of his way to find and to call. The rest of them he found along the seashore, or they were introduced to him by people like John the Baptist, or he found them fishing or in villages. But Philip was different. There was something about this guy that calls Jesus to stop everything and to go after him and to find him and to call him to be on his team. And the question that rises up in me is this: what was it about Philip that calls the Son of God to move everything to go and find him? Because whatever he had, I want some of that. I want to be in a place in my life where Jesus pursues me in such a way that I can feel his real presence calling me to ministry and calling me to go and to be a part of the great work that he's doing here and now. And Philip was one of those guys. And so we're going to take the next couple of moments to dig into that, to double click and to try to answer that question. I think there are two things that Philip had that were both gifts, gifted to him from God, the good giver of all gifts. And the first one was this: Philip had a receptive heart because his eyes and his ears and his heart had been opened to God. And when Jesus came and said to him simply, "Follow me," Philip was ready. And I think that's amazing. I mean, think about the scene. You've got Jesus, and he's frantically looking all over Galilee for this man named Philip, and you get the idea that he's looking like, where's Philip? I've got to find Philip. He's somewhere here. Oh, there he is. Hey, follow me. No interaction, no, hey, my name is Jesus. Nice to meet you. There were no pleasantries. It's just a blunt, follow me. And I think of myself, if I were in that situation, and you got to think about Jesus. Remember, he didn't have a home. He was homeless. He didn't have much money. He probably looked a little bit like a beggar. And he runs up to this man named Philip, and all he says is, follow me. If it were me, it would have scared me. I would have been looking for the closest police officer or the closest exit, right? But not Philip. It's as if when Philip's eyes met the eyes of the Messiah, everything changed. For the first time, Philip was really being seen. And not just seen, but it was as if the Lord Jesus looked down through his eyes into his soul and saw the good, the bad, and the ugly, and all at once said, I forgive all of it, and I want you. And it radically changed Philip forever. Forever. There was no need for pleasantries. He was radically changed right there on the spot. And you get the idea that it was this kind of really bold, yes, Lord, where do you want to go? It wasn't explicit like that, but that's the impression that you get of, I've been waiting for you my entire life, Lord. Where have you been? I've studied about you and I've heard about you and I knew that one day the Messiah, the rescuer, was going to come. And now you're here, and so Lord, anything you say, just tell me where you want to go. But can you pause for 1 second, Lord? And this is the second thing that we see. You see, not only did Philip have a receptive heart, but he put action behind the reception. Verse 44 says that Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. And Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. Philip immediately, with the overflow of what had just happened with him, put action behind this reception. And he says, Lord Jesus, just can you pause for a moment? I would love to stand here and just engage you and talk to you. I have 1,000 questions. But my best friend Nathanael, he's just right over there. And we've grown up together, Lord. And we've been talking about this moment forever. And it would be unfair for me just to stand here and talk to you by myself. So can I go get Philip? Because he needs to see you. He needs to be engaged by you. He needs to be called to salvation by you too. And Philip runs and he gets his best friend Nathanael and he says, you're never going to believe it. We found the one that Moses wrote about and the prophets also wrote. His name is Jesus. He's standing right over there. He's from Nazareth. He's Joseph's son, the carpenter. I love Nathanael's response. I think he's the most honest in this whole thing. He says, Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? That's like saying Jesus came from Dallas, right? Surely he came from Houston, right? Dallas, can anything good come from there? Honest. And Philip, being a brand new Christian, doesn't know what to say. He hadn't been to seminary yet. He hadn't watched Jesus share the gospel yet. He hadn't heard Jesus's great Sermon on the Mount yet. He didn't know what to do. So you know what he does? The best thing he knew to do. He simply said, come and see. Come and let Jesus look you into the eyes, Nathanael. Let him look deep into your soul and read all of your dirty laundry and let him show you more love than you could ever imagine, inviting you into his embrace, and let him say to you, follow me, and you tell me he's not the Messiah. Philip knew that if he could just get his friend Nathanael in front of the presence of Jesus, all bets were off. Everything would change. And so he simply said, come and see. I think as a church, we too often fall into the scared factor, if you will, of not sharing our faith because we allow fear to bubble up in us. And so we don't tell our neighbors about Jesus because we're afraid we may not have all the answers. We don't tell the guy at the country club that we play golf with every week or the lady we play bridge with each week about Jesus because we're afraid they might poke fun of us, kind of like Nathanael did. We allow fear to rise up and keep us from telling the greatest story the world has ever heard. And that is the story that Jesus came to save sinners. He came to look at you and see all of you 100% and say, I welcome you, scars and all, you're in my family. And this week and this morning specifically, we had the opportunity of doing Outreach Sunday. And it was simply a time where people were able to just to come and see. Come and see all the different ways that you can be the hands and feet of Jesus with no strings attached. And so there were folks in there making ham sandwiches. You say, what good's making a ham sandwich? Well, they made ham sandwiches, thousands of them, for kids' meals, so that kids won't go hungry tonight. Who in here can't make a ham sandwich, right? I mean, all you do is take a piece of white bread, throw a piece of ham on there, put another piece of white bread on, stick it in a Ziploc, and you've just been the hands and feet of Jesus. I would like to invite you to be a part of that. There's opportunities at this church every single week. Beautiful opportunities, places where you can just come and see with no strings attached. You're welcome to join me next Tuesday night as we go do Church Under the Bridge, and we have the joy of sharing the good news message with homeless men and women, brothers and sisters of yours, may I add, who just so happen to not have a home and need a hot meal and need to be reminded that they are loved, forgiven, and in, and need to be served a communion meal where they can receive the bread and be reminded once again that the Lord's body was perfectly broken for them. And to receive the cup and receive it in abundance, reminding them that as they lavish the cup on them, that they are fully forgiven everything. Join me at Church Under the Bridge. I'll take care of the preaching and the celebrating. All you'll have to do is help serve some plates and once again be the hands and feet of Jesus. But there's another Outreach Sunday. It's just 6 weeks from now. It's called Easter. Do you realize there is no greater Sunday in the church calendar to invite a friend to church than on Easter Sunday? Because most people will say yes. It's amazing how many people we have out there that will just show up for Easter, our Easter bunnies. They love to hop right on in here. And I would love to see all six of our services packed out, standing room only, with your friends and your neighbors and your loved ones and the people you work with, all because you took the relational risk of inviting someone to come and see. And if you'll invite them to come and see and you'll bring them here, I promise you, the gospel will be front and center. Russ will come and stand at this pulpit and he will knock it out of the park in such a way that it's low-hanging fruit. And you will get the joy of seeing some of your friends come to know Jesus, because you simply took the relational risk to invite them to come and see. And so if there's an action step for my sermon today, it's very simple. It's simply this. Would you come and see? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.